And as I do so, I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17, excuse me, as we read verses 8 through 16. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 311. 1 Kings chapter 17, starting with verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. There was a song that has made it into a commercial recently, and I'm not going to today to attempt to scream this one out, but it goes, "I got the power. I got the power." And then the annoying commercial begins and continues. Power. We think about power. And sometimes we claim to have it, and other people claim to have it, and nations as well as individuals clamor for power. The word carries all kinds of connotations, from the energy that powers our homes, our equipment, our cars, our trucks, these things, cell phones and beyond. We talk about power in terms sometimes of horsepower, joules, and believe it or not, there is probably more power in a particular jewel than in all the jewels out there. You know that diamond ring? We speak of power when it comes to politics and armies. Kings and queens have often been seen as supreme authorities. And when they speak in the royal plural for all, even though it's their opinion. Sometimes, even kings and queens and church leaders have seemed to have nearly unlimited power, or at least that's what they think and how they wield it. Well, such was the case with King Ahab, king of the northern kingdom of Israel during the time of Elijah. We know of Ahab, but we're probably a little bit more familiar with Ahab's wife. In fact, she was such an interesting and power-driven person that even some of my college students, particularly African-American students, when we talk about it, and I said, "Now, y'all know who Jezebel was, because you've heard your grandmama or your mama refer to somebody as an old Jezebel who had power. And that's not necessarily a good thing, right?" And they'll laugh and say, "Oh, yes." I had a student a couple of years ago that even blurted out a name. And I said, we don't need to know that. And then she covered her mouth because she realized that she just told the name of somebody her grandmama referred to as a Jezebel. But Ahab thought he had that kind of power. And his wife Jezebel certainly thought that her power was without equal. In fact, both Ahab and Jezebel thought that their power came with the approval of the god Baal. In fact, Ahab believed that Baal not only approved but arranged his marriage with Jezebel, who was a follower of Baal. And Ahab came not to the point where he had Jezebel follow Yahweh, but rather Ahab began to follow Baal himself, the god through whom they believed rain was controlled. He was the god, they thought, who determined if one lived or died. Under Ahab, things were tough. They get even tougher. And they especially get tough for Elijah after this time, because it's shortly after this occurrence with the widow and her son that we find Elijah confronting Ahab even more, and eventually the great battle on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. But under Ahab and Jezebel's rule, the poor, especially widows and orphans, were extremely vulnerable, and their lives were endangered. In fact, things were so bad that in verse 34 of chapter 16, we find that two of the sons of Hael were buried under the foundations of the gates of Jericho, which actually in some circles was a common practice in order to ensure good luck with the building of the city. And Ahab didn't flinch when Hael had done such to his two sons. Then we come to chapter 17 of 1 Kings. And in verses 1 through 7, Elijah just suddenly appears and confronts Ahab. Confronts him in order to show that it is not Baal, but it is Yahweh. It is the God of Israel who is the one who has the true power of life. He goes on to declare that there's going to be a great drought and a lack of rain for years. Not from Baal, but from God. And that Baal will not be able to overcome that drought. By the way, as Elijah confronts Ahab, he is a reminder himself of this message. For Elijah means Yah is God, a short form of Yahweh. That it is truly Yahweh who is God and who has the power of life. And he speaks of this lack of rain which only God can cause and can overcome. After this, sure enough, the rain stops. And God sends Elijah into the eastern area of the Jordan until the brook dries up for lack of rain. While he is there, God continues to prove that he is the one with power of life, because in the story, Elijah is fed by ravens, creatures that are controlled by God. And then we come to this second story. There are actually three in chapter 17 that involve Elijah and show that God is the one who gives the power of life. In the second story about Elijah and the power of life, we find in our focal verses today, and by the way, I started to say text. I don't know how many of y'all paid attention to the little cartoon in the newsletter with those two older women sitting in church. Okay. They had their cell phones out, and one of them says, for y'all who didn't pick it up, you can go look. That's it. The preacher keeps referring to the text today. But which one's he talking about? As they're holding their cell phones. Right. But in our text today, biblical text today, in those focal verses, we find that again, the word of the Lord is what dispatches Elijah to the area of Sidon on the Phoenician coast. It is not Elijah's own thought, but it's the word of the Lord that gives him power to go. And he goes there to the town of Zarephath, the home area of Jezebel, by the way. Jezebel is now living with Ahab, but Jezebel is from Sidon and Zarephath. And it was a stronghold of the worship of Baal. But notice, Elijah is not sent to the great and powerful Oz, the king. Elijah is sent to a widow, someone who is powerless, someone who is disadvantaged, someone whose life is hopeless. Because remember, in those times, if you were a widow, you couldn't work. And so you were at the mercies of everyone else and of all the circumstances. Elijah is tired and thirsty and hungry. But God had told him, there will be a widow who will provide for you. And so he sees this widow gathering just a few sticks. A widow that is even worse off than we at first might imagine. She is at the point of total despair. Elijah calls to her and asks for water. And as she goes to grab a vessel to get him some water from the well, he then asks for bread. Not a lot of bread, just the bread for the day. Because God had promised that a widow would feed him. Immediately the widow turns around, and as we read, she says, in her situation, she is so destitute. She says, I've only got enough meal and enough oil to make just a little bit of bread for my son and me. We're starving. And we're going to eat this one final meal and then lie down and die. She's hopeless. For her life is ending, not only for herself, but even more importantly, for her son. Elijah suddenly realizes that that ministry of his is not among the rich and famous, the powerful and the wealthy. His work is among the destitute. His work is to show and enact the reality that God provides abundance even when and where there is little. And not just for the wealthy, but God provides even more so for the poor. The widow and the son are hopelessly deprived in society, and she is simply moving toward a certain death. And yet Elijah says, go and make me a small cake of bread, and then make that for your son and for you. And by the way, because God is the God of life and cares, He will provide for you. Your meal will not run out. The oil will be abundant. And you and your son will live all the way until the rain comes back. He says, you'll have enough as long as the drought lasts, if you will just show faith. Show faith. Go and make me a small cake of bread, and then you and your son. Now, the widow could have complained. The widow could have said, we don't have enough again. But the widow goes and proves her faith. And we find that there is not only enough grain and wine and oil and water for as long as the drought lasts, but we find that God continues to give the power of life, because if you continue reading, you find that later on her son dies. And God, through Elijah, brings the power of life to give him back. It is not just that she is provided with material things like grain and oil, but God provides through His power all of life. And God is present probably more so in her situation than in those of others, because she is in such need. Need for physical sustenance, but need also for her son, and need for her spirit. The whole chapter asserts that the power of life and the power for life doesn't rest with the powers of this world. The power of life and the power for life doesn't rest with kings and priests and parliaments, with presidents or congresses. They cannot cause the rain. They cannot give unlimited oil and grain. And they certainly cannot raise the dead. The power for life is not among the privileged or the powerful, the bold and the beautiful, the Oprahs or anybody else. Even the scientists cannot do it. The real gift for life, daily life, is administered by God, and God is the only one who can truly transform through that power. We will come in a few moments to remember that power in an even greater way. This power of life where there should have been none. For Jesus of Nazareth was crucified and placed in a tomb, and everyone thought it was over. But just as certainly as God provided life through the prophet Elijah for this widow and for her son, God provided life in and through Christ. And God continues to provide that life in and through Christ. But also because God has that power of life for you and for me, we also come today not just to remember His sacrifice, but to bring food. To bring food in thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God and for what God will do and has done for us. Food that will help, perhaps, a widow, an orphan, a family in need who is desperate, who is destitute, and who wonders when death will come. But just as God provided through Elijah, so God provides through us when we show our faith. And because God has the power of life for you and for me, and for any and all who will come to Him in and through Jesus the Christ, we too can share the power of life. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious God, sometimes we look around us and we think that we are powerless and we are helpless and things are hopeless. And yet, You continue to provide life, not only for us, but sometimes even through us. Help us to be even more open to the power for living that You give, so that others may come to know the abundance of Your grace. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 527, I Know Whom I Have Believed. If you do have bags of food that you have not already brought to the front, if you would do so during this hymn, as we offer back to God for those in our community, sustenance. But even more so, may God's sustenance continue within our lives so that we might share that grace in the power of life. Hymn number 527, I Know Whom I Have Believed.